And we are recording.
Okay, good evening. This is the May 4th Planning Commission meeting. We called the meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the introductions. We'll start in North Kitsap today. Aaron?
Yeah, Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
Okay. Joe Phillips, North Kitsap. Central?
Stephen Bowe, Central Kitsap in Silverdale.
Mike Eliason, Central Kitsap.
Okay. We'll jump up to North just to let Amy do her introduction.
Hi, Amy Mall, North Kitsap.
All right. And then South Kitsap.
Good afternoon.
Kim Allen, South Kitsap.
Good afternoon. Stacy Smith, representing South Kitsap, residing in unincorporated Waterman area.
Okay.
Carrie Kaltenborn, Corey, South Kitsap.
Okay. We have a full quorum. So, on to the virtual meeting protocols. For those of you that are on the internet coming in, when it is time, when there's a request for speaking, you'll see at the bottom of your screen a hand that you can click to indicate that you'd like to speak, and then you'll be connected when called upon. For call-in users, there's the *9 on your keypad if you'd like to comment. Once it's announced that you can speak, you do a *6 to unmute your phone. And then we do accept written comments. They are usually read at the open comment period, and we request that they be mailed in by 2 p.m. on the day prior to the meeting. And that, with that, we have, and Commissioner Beam, you've joined. Good. We have a full quorum today. Item C, the adoption of the agenda. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda? Commissioner Beam.
I move that we adopt the agenda as written.
Okay. Do I have a second? Commissioner Smith.
Yes, second. A second. Yes.
All right. We have a motion to adopt the agenda. All those in favor, please raise your hands and say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Unanimous? All right, so we've adopted the agenda. Next item on the agenda is the adoption of the April 20th meeting minutes. Do I have a motion for adoption of the meeting minutes?
I'd actually like to make a suggested revision to the minutes. Do we want to move to adopt first or?
Let's see. I believe you can move to approve the minutes with amendments.
Okay. I move to approve with amendments.
Okay. Do we have a second on that motion? Commissioner Beam.
I second.
Okay. All right. Now at this point, I would say we need to hear the proposed amendments.
Yeah, I just wanted to, actually, Amanda, I just sent you some text that you can look at your leisure, but I just wanted to clarify my comment on page 2, starting with line 29, that I stated that I felt personally attacked. I wasn't intending to say that that was through the entire process. I think the process generally went smoothly. It was a reaction to the specific comments that we received during the general public comment.
Okay. Okay, so that would be amended to say during the public comment period. All right.
So your motion to amend, so you're moving to amend the motion to read during the public comment period. So now you just need a second to that amendment.
Okay, do I have a second for that? Commissioner Bowe. All right. All those in favor of adopt. We need to, yes.
We'll vote on the amendment and then we'll vote.
All right. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hands and say aye. Aye. One, two.
Aye.
And unanimous. Okay.
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't. I'm sorry. All right.
Not that I disagree with Commissioner Maul's motion, but the meeting minutes came out in the last 24 hours and I haven't had a chance to read those.
So. Okay.
I was not in attendance, Mr. Chair, and so I'm abstaining.
So we had 7-4-1. Commissioner Lyson, were you abstaining or voting?
I can just be reported as not voting.
Okay. So we'll say 7 approve, 2 abstaining. Motion carries. Any other amendments to the minutes? Not hearing it. All those in favor of approving the amended minutes, please vote. Approval, please vote by saying aye and yeah, and raise your hand. Sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. All right, 7 approved. All those against and those abstaining?
Abstain.
2. So abstain. Motion minutes are approved 7-2. All right. Now we come to the general public comments. Do we have anybody wishing to comment today?
Right, Mr. Palmer, you should be able to unmute at this point.
I believe I did unmute.
Yes.
One of the things I would like the Planning Commission to address is when they're going to open up for in-person public hearings / meetings. I think the COVID stuff has curtailed citizen participation, and I think the Planning Commission needs to take directive action to say we will open for in-person public comments and public hearing testimony in the county administration building or in some other remote location that possibly has room for social distancing or whatever, but you're not getting citizens to participate on Zoom. A lot of them that might either don't know how, don't have the computer equipment to do it, you're not getting public input. When I'm the only one testifying, or maybe only one of two, possibly three, there's a problem. And I think the commission needs to take a directive action to address that issue. And if it takes staff to do coordinate it, fine. But right now, nobody's addressing it, and I think the commission needs to.
Okay. Thank you for that comment, Mr. Palmer. Any other comments from the public? No.
Okay. I don't see any.
All right. So at this time, we will close the general public comment. Next item.
We did receive a chat message. We should probably disclose from a panelist.
We do have a comment from Steve A. noting a regular citizen, happy to be here.
Ah, yes. Okay. All right. So at that point, public comment is closed. The status update for Shoreline Master Program periodic review update.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Dave Ward with the Department of Community Development. Kirby was not able to be here this evening, so I am filling in for her. So when you hear my voice, just imagine it's Kirby speaking. Just one brief update on the Shoreline Master Program periodic update. We did after the completion of the last Planning Commission action on the update, we did send the draft to Department of Ecology for its required review. Keep in mind that the Shoreline Master Program update is a joint process between local jurisdictions and the Department of Ecology. So this is Department of Ecology's opportunity to take all of the public comment that was received, go through that public comment themselves, and then come back to the county and let us know what things are mandatory that we might need to change that Ecology has identified to remain compliant with the Shoreline Management Act, and what things are maybe recommended from them. That review was just finished today, so we just got our first feedback from Ecology. So we are still in the department. We are still processing that and going through it. They had about a dozen comments with a mix of some that they are stating would be required and some that would be mixed or that would be recommended. So we will keep you up to date as to how that transpires. We're still processing their comments and trying to understand exactly what it is that they are directing us to do. But there was one change that did happen earlier on before we got those comments from Ecology that was related to the definitions of floodway. And this came out of a review of FEMA guidelines as it applies to Title 15. So recall that when the Planning Commission reviewed the periodic update, we had inserted into Title 15 a change of the regulatory floodway in order to be consistent between Title 15 and Title 22. One thing we learned in the immediately after this passed out of the Planning Commission was that the Department of Ecology, different arms of the Department of Ecology have very good reason to keep those separate. And I will read to you their language and their logic behind it, just so you understand where they are coming from on this. Title 15 and Title 22 derive from two different authorities and two different requirements. Title 15 is required to follow FEMA guidelines, while Title 22 must follow the SMA and SMP guidelines. FEMA requires adherence to specific definitions and wording in flood ordinances as part of the National Flood Insurance Program. Departure from FEMA's required wording for this definition, this would be in Title 15, could jeopardize the county's inclusion in the National Flood Insurance Program. Conversely, the Title 22 definition of floodway must match the SMA Shoreline Management Act definition, because this definition is used to determine Shoreline Management Act jurisdictional boundaries. So as uncomfortable as that is, there's a pretty good reason to not make the change that the department had initially proposed and the Planning Commission had approved in Title 15 regarding that definition. So as we move forward to the board, we will have that discussion with the board and with the recommendation that we not proceed with the Title 15 change. And happy to entertain any questions, but that's pretty much all we have for you today on the Shoreline Master Program. From here, we will continue review of Ecology's comments and recommendations, and then we will move the process to the Board of County Commissioners.
Okay, Commissioner Bean?
Can you explain what the difference is? What are the two definitions and how are they different?
I'd have to dig into the code, which I don't have in front of me right now, but basically it's just a different definition of essentially the same phrase. I'm looking to see if.
Yeah, but it's one say 15 feet and the other say 11. What's the
difference? It's not that specific. Floodway means the channel of a river or other water course in the adjacent land areas that must be reserved in order to discharge the base flood without cumulatively increasing the water surface elevation more than a designated height, also referred to as the regulatory floodway. That's what was recommended from FEMA. The other was the Title 22. The Title 15 was area that has been established in effective flood emergency management, a federal emergency management flood insurance rate maps or floodway maps. The floodway does not include lands that can be reasonably expected to be protected from floodwaters by the flood control devices maintained by or maintained under license from the federal government, a state or a political subdivision of the state. So they are basically using the same phrase to address two different things.
So the state can't get their act together and they throw it to us.
They have two different definitions from the different regulatory arms of the Department of Ecology. One is driven by FEMA and the National Flood Insurance Program. The other is driven by the Shoreline Management Act. And yes, it would be nice if the Department of Ecology could reconcile those differences, but after reviewing that, apparently they can't, which means that we have inconsistent definitions, one that applies to one to Title 15, the other that applies to Title 22.
So there's essentially two definitions, floodway one, floodway two.
That's correct.
Okay.
Which is where we are right now without any changes.
Okay. Well, flood insurance is an important thing, so I guess we would bow to their wants. Okay. Any other comments or questions? No? Thank you, Dave.
We will keep you posted on further changes as they develop.
Okay. Next item on the list is the buildable lands report update. I believe Liz was going to give that.
Yep. Good evening. For the record, Liz Williams, planning supervisor with Kitsap County Department of Community Development. As was indicated this evening, the team is here just to provide a quick status update since your last briefing on April 20th regarding the buildable lands program update. You may recall that the buildable lands program update is required as part of the state's Growth Management Act, and the county and cities are currently working to compile the main deliverable, which is the buildable lands report, by June 30th. So compiling this technical document is the first step that the county and cities take prior to updating their local comprehensive plans. Specifically, this report will look back at development trends between 2013 and 2019 to review if population and employment growth is consistent with local policies and plans. It also looks forward between 2020 and 2036 to evaluate if there is sufficient land supply in urban areas to accommodate new population and employment growth identified in local plans and policies. So at the April 20th Planning Commission briefing, the department presented an overview of proposed assumptions used for that forward-looking review and evaluation of residential future land supply within urban areas, specifically taking a look at steps 4 through 9. Since that briefing, the department continues to coordinate with cities to finalize the evaluation of both the residential and commercial and industrial land supply. So on April 21st, the county did send preliminary guidance for the commercial and industrial evaluation of future land supply to all of the jurisdictions in Kitsap County for them to start working on and testing. Jurisdictions have until May 14th to complete both the residential and commercial and industrial land capacity analysis. So once jurisdictions, including the county, complete this work, it will be sent to BRRC, which is the consulting team that's supporting the county on this update effort, to complete a third-party review of the information and incorporate it into the preliminary draft buildable lands report by June 30th. So in addition to that distribution, on April 27th, the fourth and final all city and county coordination meeting was held. And we checked in on kind of the status of residential land capacity analysis and also reviewed the preliminary guidance for the commercial and industrial evaluation. So the department continues to stay in close communications with the cities, also the Department of Commerce and BRRC and the Board of County Commissioners to address and adapt to any timeline impacts, which we mentioned at our last briefing to the Planning Commission. And in terms of next steps, kind of looking forward, the department is scheduled to meet one-on-one with jurisdictions over the next 2 weeks to support their efforts to complete and wrap up the forward-looking land capacity analysis. And the department is planning to, similar to the walkthrough that we did with the Planning Commission on the residential land capacity analysis steps, we will also be coming back and doing a more deeper dive with the Planning Commission on the assumptions and steps for the commercial and industrial land capacity analysis. So that's kind of next steps in the near term. Happy to answer any questions that the commissions may have at this point, but this is just a very quick status update tonight.
Commissioner Bean.
Same question as last time. When do we get to see the look back report?
So Same response as last time, Commissioner Beam. That information is being reviewed by BRRC and will be compiled into the draft buildable lands report.
I understand, but why can't we see the draft? Can't we see the analysis of how we are?
Commissioner Beam, sir, Angie Selva, Assistant Director for the Department of Community Development. As Liz mentioned in this conversation, but also our last meeting, that look back period also includes not only unincorporated urban growth areas, but also incorporated city jurisdictions. Half of the cities have not verified their look back data. In addition to part of BRRC's contract is to do a third party assessment of that third, the look back period, as well as the information contained in it, including achieved densities. BRRC is still working through that and has a series of questions for a couple of the city jurisdictions, which we hope and have scheduled meetings this week to verify some of those items that we're trying to validate why the numbers are doing what they are and what projects triggered what, et cetera. That requires research, that requires staff time, and part of one of the delays related to this overall project and the coordination required as part of the buildable lands program with the cities.
So when can we see it?
I think part of Liz's presentation here is to provide a status update on the overall schedule in our conversations with Commerce, as well as the city jurisdictions that are multi-jurisdictional coordination meeting last week and the status of where they are. By the end of June, based upon some where we think the cities can be by the end of June, Liz is about to launch, and that is part of our status update to this body. Ms. Liz?
Sure. So thank you, Angie, for that clarification. So as we mentioned at the last coordination meeting, two jurisdictions have experienced delays on their work related to the residential land capacity analysis. So we've been coordinating with the Department of Commerce. And at this point, it is likely that a preliminary draft report will be available for review by the city jurisdictions in late June, so by June 30th. But the public review of that draft would occur after that timeline at this point, just based on what we were experiencing related to some of the project delays with the various jurisdictions. So we continue to be in close communications with BRC and with the Department of Commerce to be able to adapt and work on these timeline delays as best as we can, given the situation we're in with the short timeline to complete this work. So again, not an ideal state of affairs, but we are working as best as we can to move this project forward under the current constraints.
So the final draft is due when?
So the final draft, we are working towards a preliminary draft report by June 30th of this. Here.
But you won't have the look back done until June 30th?
That is what the current timeline that we are is having a preliminary draft of the buildable lands report by June 30th.
Pardon me, if you don't know how you've done in the past, how can you look at what you're going to do in the future if they're both due at the same time?
Correct. Part of the full report will look back at development trends and also look forward at future land supply. So both components are intended to be compiled within the draft buildable lands report by June 30th. So
it's surprise, we're done. Is there any reason why we can't see the draft look back analysis now?
So I don't know, Angie, Dave, do you want to reiterate kind of where we're at on this piece?
No, I think just reiterating, Commissioner Beam, that it's still very preliminary. It needs to be validated by the various jurisdictions before it's ready for release. When it comes to the look back period and how it informs the look forward, one of those key elements more specifically in that look back period is about achieved densities and the assumed densities of that. A lot of that preliminary information is already available to the jurisdictions to start testing the residential, but also preliminary information available for the employment lands, as Liz was mentioning, the jurisdictions are testing right now. The refinement and finalization of that and available for report out to this body, but also the public as well, will not be available. We're still looking for a preliminary draft for jurisdictions to review and complete their comment period by the end of June. When it comes to a final draft report for public comment, that we're looking past June at this point, in addition to the resources to support that project as our commerce grant concludes at the end of June due to their fiscal year budget, as well as part of the conversations with the cities and the delays is also how do we provide support beyond that commerce grant conversation. And the difficulties of having that conversation with everything else going on and other priorities going in jurisdictions, including the permit volumes that we're all experiencing, not just here at Kitsap County, but in the city incorporated areas as well as other mandated projects are competing for a lot of different staff resources. We're working hard as we can. I have to say we've met with city jurisdiction multiple times during the week to get this forward and get a solid, our goal actually was to get a public draft available by June. But as of last week in our interjurisdictional conversation with all cities in the room, two of the four are still lagging behind, which makes that even that preliminary analysis incomplete and not a complete picture to understand what is happening in the countywide.
Commissioner Clayton Bourne Corey.
Correct, in that this is going to be completed in the March of 2022. It's not going to be completed in June.
I hope it doesn't get completed in 2022. Our goal is to push hard even past the June 30th deadline for submittal to satisfy the Commerce Grant is to complete this by summer, as we have plenty of other projects and things we need to focus our county staff resources on. So this delay is not ideal for us at all. As one of the topics here today, we would like to move forward for additional public review and consideration, including Planning Commission review and deliberation, is the use table. That takes a lot of our staff resources to move that forward. And the reason why we're trying to kick that off in July, as this was supposed to be slid off our plate by June 30th of this year. So it has rolling impacts. We continue to communicate with the commissioners on these scheduled delays, as well as how to coordinate with the city jurisdictions, given other activities afoot, including what's being discussed at the Kids Up Regional Coordinating Council at the same time as well.
Okay, the attachment that was sent out with the public participation plan shows phase three for the zoning use table update.
Yeah, that's the next agenda item that we'll be discussing this evening.
Okay, so that's different.
Right.
Oh.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? No? Okay. Well, we're looking forward to getting more information from you,
Ms. Absolutely. Williams. Thank you for the opportunity to brief you this evening. Have a great evening, everybody.
All right. Thank you. All right. Next agenda item is the Title 17 Zone Use Table Report.
So for the record, Darren Gurney, Kitsap County Department of Community Development, Senior Planner and Project Lead for the Zoning Use Table Update. We have a slide presentation for you tonight, and the best way for us to do that is to turn off our cameras to save bandwidth on the computer. So you'll see me go off screen, but I am not going anywhere. So let me try our share screen here. And is this coming through for everyone? Not quite yet. There we go. All at once. Okay. So for this project, let me make sure my video's off just to save my bandwidth there. So I did see some new faces in the Planning Commission. And this is going to go over a little bit of the history of the project as well as what we're doing moving forward. So this is the zoning use table update. Briefing today is primarily going to address the public participation plan before the board reviews it next week. The department intends to provide additional briefings in June to both the Planning Commission and the board. And kind of starting things off tonight, if there are people in the audience that are watching the presentation tonight or the planning commissioners yourselves, I'm asking that in the chat bar, if you can identify if you use the use tables regularly and are familiar with the uses, and if you use tables from other jurisdictions. It's just kind of a general response to give us an indication of where people are coming from when viewing the use table. So going into a little bit of the history of the guidance for the use table, we typically do this with all of our projects. We go through a goal and policy guidance. This project implements goals and policies from many documents, primarily starting with the State Adopted Growth Management Act, which is kind of the general guidance for all jurisdictions in the state. And those goals and policies gradually become tailored into localized planning documents, eventually implemented by county code. So for example, the Growth Management Act emphasizes urban growth, which is something that was identified in Billable Lands Report, emphasizing urban growth as opposed to rural growth, early and often outreach to reach multiple and diverse groups of people, coordinating with jurisdictions, including the tribes and cities, economic development for all people, And as the state mentions, it's especially important to look at economic development for the unemployed and disadvantaged. That's consistent across the state level plans, regional plans, local plans. Also, the housing components of our codes, allowing housing where it's expected to be. Also, where it is allowed, allowing more types of housing, and trying to increase affordability of housing and just the overall diversity in our neighborhoods. And finally, Kitsap County Code is one of the guiding framework pieces that we use to go through the Planning Commission. So 2108 from Kitsap County Code identifies the Planning Commission review process and the criteria used in the analysis of the proposal moving forward. So part of our basis is in code to come to the Planning Commission. The other is that it's just good practice to get as much outreach and public input as possible. So what do these goals and policies do for the project? Part of it is to help limit the scope of the project. So this project is focused on urban areas, limited areas of more intense rural development, rural commercial and rural industrial zones. Those areas we're expecting to address the allowed uses, what's the permit required with those uses, and aligning that with the zone. What you're likely not going to see is major changes to the rural locations. Rural zones, the changes you're going to see are primarily going to be from new categorical uses, combined split uses, things of that nature that do affect rural zones, but we're not intending to change how things are regulated in the rural areas. In addition, the project will not change comprehensive plan visions, goals, and policies, as these require a comprehensive plan amendment. It also doesn't plan to change the densities of the various zones or the design standards. So the purpose of the update, as mentioned before, in the urban growth areas, the Lammerds, rural commercial, rural industrial zones, in efforts to meet those goals at the upper levels and localized levels, we're trying to remove the barriers to investment in these urban areas, modernizing and defining categorical uses. Like I said, aligning the land use permit review with the purpose and intent of a zone. So in a residential zone, not allowing a single family dwelling unit seems counterproductive. Those are the kind of things we're trying to address there. Encouraging the housing diversity, where you allow the housing, multiple types should be allowed to allow for the greater choice. The economic development, providing a mix, the opportunity for a mix of use of business types at different scales that support both the urban and rural economies. So it may not make sense to allow a 25,000 square foot retail shop in a neighborhood, but it could make sense to allow a small mom and pop shop to set up on a corner in a residential area. And then finally, the predictability, increasing predictability in code allows for streamlining processes and also allows a customer to understand what they can and cannot do with a property. And part of the predictability can be reorganizing the code structure in a new chapter for allowed use standards instead of all of the footnotes. We have over 108 footnotes, I believe, for the use tables, which are kind of the, you're allowed to do it, but. So we're trying to remove that confusion and those surprises as appropriate. Getting into the process for the project, a little bit of history. I'm gonna go through these a little bit quickly, but for those that were on the Planning Commission at the time, you may remember this, but we started in June of 2019, conducted countywide surveys, internal reviews. We held Planning Commission workshops. We had four of those, I believe. We held open houses in North, Central, and South Kitsap, received in multiple public comments. We then held multiple stakeholder workshops where we had a revolving table set up that allowed people to go into depth into the use tables and definitions and standards. And we reviewed all the comments from those outreach efforts to develop a proposed draft. Developing that proposed draft included analyzing that initial feedback. And we held interdepartment meetings with Public Works and Parks. And within the Department of Community Development, we've been reviewing and are still reviewing to develop that formal proposal. We're doing the last little effort of polishing off the proposal before we get it to the Planning Commission. We do expect a formal release in July of this year. So as we move forward, project process, the last two phases really are the analysis and the consideration. So as you'll see in this slide, you have starting here in May, we're going through the analysis. We developed the public participation plan, updating the project website, finalizing the amendments for review, and conducting the SEPA analysis review. So we're getting all of these things ready for that formal release in July. And part of the project, we were on track for quite a while, but we delayed the project in October of 2020 due to various reasons, one of which being for COVID restrictions. Others, we had additional comments coming in, and we want to honor the thought process of accepting comments and analyzing them and truly incorporating our responses into any draft that comes forward. So with the release in July, this release allows us to conduct all the analysis necessary. It does provide, it provides us the opportunity to allow for an extended review. Our public hearing is currently scheduled tentatively for the end of September. So by doing that public hearing at that time, releasing the draft in July with the staff report, it gives a good amount of time to absorb the material, to prepare answers or prepare questions and thoughts that can be expressed during the public hearing or public comment period. We do plan to reach out with key partners and interested parties with the formal draft, a couple of study sessions with the Planning Commission, opening up for a 30-day public comment period prior to public hearing. And after the public hearing, as we usually do with our code updates, we would have a comment matrix with our response to comments, whether we incorporate them or provide reasoning as to why we may not be able to. And at the end of that process, we'd have two deliberation sessions planned for the Planning Commission. So we have plenty of time to go through such a large amount of content. After that, we have a couple of meetings scheduled. Hopefully we would only need one to do the findings of fact, but we do have some flexibility to allow for an additional meeting should the Planning Commission need that. That goes all the way through until December. This is taking into account holidays and times needed for review and response, which leaves us with the final act of the code adoption, which is going through the Board of County Commissioners public review and adoption, which we would then go back out, engage with key partners. They would also have a couple of study sessions, the public comment period and hearings. Again, our response to comments and going through the deliberation sessions and adoption. The intent of this longer analysis and consideration is motivated by a couple of things. We do recognize that there is a request from the public and the Planning Commission for more involvement in the public process, more opportunity to comment. And we want to make sure that we hear those comments and process them accordingly. In talking about public participation, with the public participation plan that we've developed. Each of these items, the web page, one-on-one consultations are being offered. We're going to be coordinating with local jurisdictions, contacting the cities and the tribes. As usual, we expect to have project announcements coming out through our electronic notification system, as well as formal letters to some of the agencies around the county. We have project update meetings similar to the Shoreline Master Program update. These meetings are intended to be in July and August, so one preferably before the work study sessions to get people geared towards those sessions. One in August to answer any questions before we come up on the public hearing. Same thing with the January, February, and the board process. Those are when we have those meetings set up. We still plan to use media with the, you know, the newspaper notifications. If there's any other form of story documentation that may come out in a different media type, those are other venues that we can use to reach the public. There will, of course, be State Environmental Policy Act public comment period that comes out concurrent with the first formal draft. And that has the threshold determination and the analysis behind the proposal. And then, of course, the Planning Commission and Board public hearings and comment periods. So after today, you know, we're reviewing the public participation plan with you today. The Board of County Commissioners will be seeing that next week. As we move forward towards July, we're completing that analysis of the proposal. Again, having those additional briefings in June and the formal release of the proposal in July. And then we start that public review process, which was that timeline and the arrows that you saw. And with that, just providing contact information in case somebody needs to reach out to us at this time. We do have the webpage with some background of the materials and the announcements and my project contact information. In terms of going through the public participation plan, I do not plan on going through that as in a word by word fashion. You did receive that as an attachment to your executive summary. Opening this up to questions, comments, anything the Planning Commission may have that they'd like to respond to.
Commissioner Eliason.
Oh, it's been a while, Darren, since that it's been to the Planning Commission. And last time we created an informal parking lot of ideas. And one of those ideas suggested by three of the commissioners, probably led by Commissioner Shattuck, was to address accessory dwelling units. And quite a few months has passed since then. I'm wondering if you anticipate any of the potential amendments to be addressing ADUs, particularly with our housing crisis. That's my first question, and then I have a second one.
Okay. So the proposal, as I mentioned, is still currently under review from internal department reviewers. But the proposal at this time, it does go into a more relaxed regulatory framework for urban accessory dwelling units. It does not go into a relaxed framework for rural. So two parts to your question there. So yes, for the urban, the rural, we're trying to keep it as status quo as possible.
Okay, and then the second one in regard to your public participation plan, prior to drafting it, were you able to look at the Planning Commission's work study group recommendations that have not been yet reviewed or adopted by the Planning Commission, but have been submitted as of last year?
To be honest, I have looked at a lot of documents. I can't remember off the top of my head if that one was part of them, okay. But I can definitely look at that and I'll make note to take a look at that tomorrow.
Okay, that'd be great. And again, it has not been reviewed by the Planning Commission. I know the last 5 months we've been trying to schedule it in and we've had other projects, but my concern is that hopefully we can address that before we're done with our entire projects. I mean, almost everything's done other than maybe, and we haven't still haven't gotten a calendar, but the next big project other than this one and the ongoing projects like buildable lands, land capacity is going to be vacation rentals. And that's going to be a big issue coming probably compared to the others. And so I'm hoping we can get the, instead of the cart before the horse, finalizes public participation. Although I did note in your plan, it seemed like there were some new things added to it. Not that you haven't tried them before, but for example, the committee had recommended more media or attempts to get media coverage. And I would note that you've included that in your plan. Thank you.
Thank you for the comments.
Any other questions? Commissioner Beam.
Yes, sir. We've been working on this zone update for a year and a half more. Before we stopped, when I go to the zone update page on the website, I don't see a lot of the red lines and things that we were discussing when we stopped. Some of the things are said, well, go look at the Planning Commission page. I would think that you'd want to have, for public participation purposes, the most up-to-date information resident on the zoning page for things that we've done. And it, some of those things on the red lines are very interesting for the public in that they are, what are the proposed things that we're gonna change? I realize that we're starting a new process here, but that's something as I have coming in as a public guy would wanna know is, well, what are the codes that they're really trying to change? And those have disappeared off of the zone update. Can we get the zone update page up to date with what we've already discussed?
Darren, can you pull up the project website? I think it's also hyperlinked to the meeting agenda and kind of walk through the current red line and footnote relocation guide that's currently available and connect with the formal department release schedule again that was covered for our conversation. Sure.
Give me just a moment to bring that up.
Thank you, sir.
Actually, you're gonna have to give me just a moment because Internet Explorer does not want to bring it up.
Darren, do you want me to share my screen here?
If you can, that'd be great. Internet Explorer is not working for me.
Should be coming up here.
Now, the articles that I was interested in is we were talking about specific zoning issues when we stopped this process, and those don't appear on this page anymore.
So what I can tell you, Commissioner Beam, is that with the things that have been occurring over the past few months and the revisions to the proposal, we plan on coming out with a new set of summary of changes in a manner that reflects the current proposal. So it would be in the form that somebody could look at it, but we want to be careful about version control and not having somebody click on a document that is not the most recent version. But we will take that into consideration as we update the webpage moving forward here.
Thank you.
Is my screen sharing right now? Are you all seeing
the webpage? Yes, we are seeing your screen, Liz.
Okay, I was just gonna mention, so we do have currently on the webpage, the Planning Commission work study materials, which is the most recent preliminary draft that the Planning Commission reviewed with the department prior to this project being put on hold. So we do have, you know, the strikeout language for the resource guides and the proposed use table update changes. And I think we also had, I think what you're referring to, Commissioner Beam, as Darren already mentioned, were those kind of summary sheets for each of the zones to kind of highlight what was changing. So folks could take a look at that. And as Darren mentioned, that is part of the package and refresh that will come along with a formal draft recommendation for this project.
Yes, ma'am. And the matrix is 47 pages of colored blocks. That's not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is the things that we propose. We're going to do something with yard sales. And those were all discussed way back when, but that's disappeared off this page. But we still have the 47 pages of matrix.
In that particular example, Darren, Liz, correct me if I'm wrong on the previous materials from last year that's on the screen right now, that's located in both the use table guide as well as the special provisions, at least from when it comes to the yard sales topic there.
Click on it, let's see it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be, you know, as clear as we can to the Joe public.
Understand, sir, this is one of our struggles as part of the reboot. And again, as Darren mentioned, that version control. So how to consolidate all of this very complicated information into kind of a single resource document, but also in a manner that reduces the time intensity of preparing it in an ordinance format. So that has definitely been a back and forth with our legal counsel to kind of align this and make this as easy as possible. But with that said, so there's a lot of information contained here and a lot of moving pieces and things that are moving around that appear to be new, but they're just moving into a new section.
Yeah.
So that's something we'll definitely are prepped and ready to walk through the Planning Commission in future study session and work study sessions as part of our formal department release.
Yeah. By the time you get to page 45 in the matrix, your eyes are glazing over. And I was just trying to have something that'd be more accessible to the public.
Mm-hmm. Understand there's just a lot of different pieces, a lot of different zones. And one of our struggles is how to make this short and sweet, but with everything being proposed, that's almost a near impossible task. So understand and welcome any input and how to articulate that in the clearest and cleanest way possible for the public review.
I'm with you.
One thing that I would add to that is that most of the, well, all of the work that has been done to date on this over a year and a half or more has all been somewhat evolutionary in nature. It's been conversations with the department, public outreach, conversations with the Planning Commission. And there has never been to date a single formal public release of a draft for public comment. And the reason for that is because it's been an evolving discussion on where do we go and how do we address all these different issues there's a lot going on here and everybody zeroes in on slightly different aspects of it. So there has never been a formal department draft on this. As we move towards July, that is what the target is, a formal department draft for deliberation by the Planning Commission for public comment. So that way we can actually move into the legislative process.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I that's the right way to go. I thank you for even bringing up public participation at this meeting. But we need to make the clickable items as clear as possible what they're clicking on.
Thank you, Commissioner. That is helpful information for sure.
Any other questions, comments? Commissioner Murphy.
Yeah, if I might, to staff, Mr. Gurney, just if there's any looking forward as to specific areas, specific zones where we might be seeing significant change that could affect the average homeowner or parcel owner. Do you have any foresight as to certain segments, sections, or areas of the table that we might be wanting to start to pay attention to specifically in the months ahead with future update from you?
I think, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. I will put that little blurb out there. But in terms of the zones that are going to be some fairly major differences, you know, the residential zones allowing multiple residential unit types is definitely a key for those residential zones. When we're talking about commercial uses, it's really the categorical uses have been broken into that scaling system like we had for the general office or general retail. We took some of the uses and put them into a scaled system like that, like research laboratories as well, so industrial uses as well. Allowing the mix of commercial uses across to residential zones and vice versa, allowing some more residential and commercial zones. So there's a little bit more of a mixed use opportunity. In not just the residential commercial, it's also commercial and industrial, allowing some small commercial services for industrial areas to serve the local workers that are in like an industrial development. So a little cafe or something like that. Those kind of things are what we're focusing on there. The list of categorical uses is going to be really important to focus on as you go through the project. And then with that list of categorical uses, you're going to find a strategy that you find easiest to navigate the tables and see the differences. But for us, the best thing that we did is that we had to look down the zone to make sure everything aligned with the purpose and intent of the zone. But then we also looked across the table to see, compared to this other residential zone, good example being urban medium and urban high. Those two zones seem very similar. One identifies in the purpose statement that commercial services that serve the adjacent residents should be allowed. The other residential zone focuses in on commercial offices and not service-oriented things. So you'll see that nuance reflected in the permit review required for these categorical uses that are in this proposal. Long drawn out answer, but we're going to try and provide summary sheets that capture a lot of these major pieces so that you don't have to get down into the weeds at that level to understand where the big changes are occurring.
Appreciate the explanation. And sorry if I might one more. I know I'm going to tap what you can find on the top of your off the top of your head, but my recollection is there was a zone, and I'm thinking specifically of in Kingston next to the Village Green, where there used to be a mixed use requirement, and that is being modified to be not required. Do you mind reminding me and the rest of the commission where that is found?
And Liz, I don't know if Liz is still on the call. She is. So she can probably speak to that better than I can. That mixed use component was part of a previous code update or comp plan amendment effort.
Yeah, so just real quickly, as part of the 2019 and 2018 annual comprehensive plan amendments that the county processed through, there were code revisions to the urban village center zone, which is located in downtown Kingston. One of those changes was to remove the requirement that residential development within that zone have a commercial component. So that was removed as part of that past planning effort and is no longer a code requirement within the urban village center zone.
Perfect, thanks for filling us in.
You're welcome.
Okay, Commissioner Beam.
One of the reasons for the delay was advertised was to accommodate changes in the Port Gamble area and the tribes. Will that be reflected in the comment sheets so that we can see what the tribes and the Port Gamble people came in and wanted to modify?
It will be clarified when we come forward in the with the formal proposal, that you'll see that there's actually a carve out of an area for that the related regulations associated with what they were concerned about. And that will be explained in the future as we move forward in the process. We still need to confirm a few things as we move through moving towards the proposal being released. We wanted to confirm a few items before we would release information about.
Yeah, one of the successes for public participation is if the public can see that their comments are made and reacted upon, and some of them react upon favorably. It seems to me that this would be one of the areas where you can show that the public actually got an input and things got changed.
I would see it as that way as well.
Okay.
Any additional questions from?
One last comment from myself. The Shoreline Master program had a monthly public meeting, live conversation. I saw quite a bit of participation in that meeting and explanations to people that, you know, they had simple questions or just concerns that they were talking about on that. From your plan, it looks like you're only planning to do it July, August. Is that correct?
July and August before the Planning Commission meetings, and right, January, February before the board meetings. But that does, it did require a lot of staff work and time to do those. Mm-hmm. And we had some additional resources to help us with that. I may be speaking a little bit too much towards that. Angie and Dave may have a better understanding of this, but part of the reason we don't have monthly updates is due to the capacity to hold the meetings with the correct amount of attention paid to them.
Yes, we are discussing doing similar status reports. However, at this point, we're not necessarily committing to doing them monthly, whether they're needed or not. We're trying to meter them out a little bit because from a staffing perspective, those are a little bit of a heavy lift. I do agree. I agree with you, Commissioner, that I think they have been successful. We've reached quite a few people. We've reached different people than we have through other venues, which I think is very important. So we do want to continue those, but it might not be on an every month basis.
I understand the constraints on staff, abilities and that, but especially on such a large topic, the zoning table covers many, many topics. The ability for the public to call in, ask those questions, or Zoom in to ask those questions, I think is invaluable. I highly recommend that we find a way to do that. I think they were quite successful. Yes, Commissioner Beam.
For the media challenge people, are you anticipating sending out postcards or something in addition to just doing this all electronically?
Right now, we don't have postcards identified as an element of being distributed for notification. It's primarily through the electronic notification system and gov delivery. We do have the newspaper announcements. The postcards, if we were to send out postcards to everybody in the county, I believe it's, in the tens of thousands of dollars to do so, if not a little bit more than that. It's a very pricey thing to do. So I don't have the awareness of our budget to say yes or no to something like that.
Yeah, I just deal with a lot of people that are media challenged and that not necessarily up to speed on computers and Zoom and all the rest of this stuff. And I don't want them left behind.
Right.
couldn't agree more that that's a challenge, that there are still several populations within Kitsap County that aren't online fully or are limited to, if they are online, they are limited to phone service and not necessarily a desktop computer or laptop. So that's a challenge on many fronts, you know, and trying to balance the cost of that is a challenge. We can spend a lot of money sending out mail pieces to every household. However, the research and experience shows that sending out just one mail piece to every house is not enough, that a lot of people miss that. So that puts us in a place where sending out multiple mail pieces makes sense if we really want to engage people. But yet, as Darren pointed out accurately, that's not a low cost endeavor.
Yes, sir. That's why I asked the question.
I know we're trying to find better ways to reach broader numbers of people. And the truth is a lot of the next door postings that we do and the Gov delivery postings that we do, we have every expectation and experience validates that when we send those out, we expect that people in neighborhoods talk about some of these things. When somebody hears about it, we know that people talk over the fence lines to their neighbors. And we rely on that word of mouth dissemination of our information as much as any other. So, you know, it's a tricky thing. It's a hard thing to balance reaching everybody and still being able to keep it affordable and make it workable. I appreciate your thoughts on that, Commissioner.
And I would also note that if you look at the public participation plan, there is quite the list of all the various associations and group committee or community groups that will be contacted and informed of all this. And hopefully that will help filter out to the people that are not following on a electronic basis. Any other comments, questions? No? Okay, well, thank you, Darren, for your presentation tonight. And we look forward to beginning this work.
We're looking forward to moving it forward.
Okay. With that, we are on to the last item of the agenda for the good of the order. Do we have any comments from the commissioners or motions that they would like to be heard or considered at this time? Okay, I will propose one item. I believe that we need to put the public participation meeting on the agenda for the next meeting. I think this would give us enough time to look over the information that's been gathered. Commissioner Beam, if you want to sit. We have sent out, you might want to resend to the commissioners the information. And this is a discussion item that I think we should include on the next meeting agenda.
Yes, sir. And I want to point out that this was a nice discussion on public participation that they brought up to us this time in advance of going to the commission. I think that's wonderful, and we want to encourage that.
People are listening. That's a good thing. Okay. Any last comments, questions from the commission? No? Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Commissioner Bow. And do I have a second? Commissioner Allen. Okay. All those in favor of adjourning the meeting, please raise your hand and say aye if you approve. One, two,
three. Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Okay. Until next meeting, and look forward to it. All right. Good night.
Thank you, commissioners.
Night. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.